In the mid 1970s, Joy and I had an invitation from a friend to go on a sailing boat trip one Sunday afternoon, I think it was, and it was to go down to Levington on the River Orwell. And the boy, the lad, was borrowing his father's boat. And there was about six of us, I think, and we sort of sailed down River Orwell, past Felixstowe, round past Harwich, up to the backwaters at Walton. And we had a leisurely lunch, you know, good leisurely lunch as we did. But when we came, kind of go back, the wind had dropped, so the boat had its motor going to get us there. And we were getting well on the way towards Harwich, and all of a sudden we realised that our visibility was dropping fast. You know, we could see less than 100 yards. And the prospect of sailing past any boats coming in and out of Felixstowe was not really a safe option. So it was a matter of turning round and trying to get back to Walton. Well, the trouble is, when you can't see very far, when the world is all grey, you know, the sea and the sky are all just one, it's not very easy. And we're all up the front looking out to try and see, because we'd seen some marker buoys from going to Walton. And after about 10, 15 minutes, we picked up the first buoy. But we didn't know quite which angle we were approaching the buoy, if you know what I mean. Because the trouble is, a buoy is a round object, and if you just think about it, you might be going any way round. So it wasn't until we got the second buoy that we know that we were roughly on the right track. And then we sort of just sort of, it was literally sort of, you got past one, you lost sight of that, and you had to wait before you saw the next one, and we eventually got back into Walton. And when we got back in, there's about half a dozen boats had come up behind us as well, who had, they'd heard us motoring along, and we saw a little bit flotilla coming along. But for a lot of people in life, the world is all grey, isn't it? You know, it's, you know, they sometimes wonder whether there's any point in life, where they're going. And we needed those buoys were like our marking lights. Now, light and the ability to see are just so vital to us, aren't they? If you have any trouble with your eyes, you know how important your ability to see is. And, you know, we talk about people seeing the light, don't they, when the suddenly the penny drops. And for quite a few people, you know, the winter months, their moods start dropping, and the spring months, their moods start going up again with daylight. But really, where's this all come from? Well, if you just open to verse 3 in Genesis, what does it say? And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that light was good. Well, today is the end of what's called Christmastide. Now, if we were in the Spanish part of the world, we'd be calling it the Three Kings Day. Didn't know that. But it's also the start of Epiphany. And Epiphany runs right through to Ash Wednesday. Now, the word Epiphany comes from the ancient Greek word epiphaneia, which is, Ian said, means manifestation, shining forth, revelation or striking appearance. Now, in the ancient Greek world, it also referred to when the gods revealed themselves to mortal man. But the word epiphany is not just restricted to religion. Archimedes with his Eureka moment, or Isaac Newton with his seeing the apple fall, you know, they are regarded as epiphanic moments in science where they had leaps of comprehension. It's also a term used in literature, you know, for some sort of realization of how things are going. But for us, and the lectionary in this coming season, it's about really revealing who Jesus is and what it's all about. Now, the first two readings are really sort of setting the scene for the gospel, aren't they? You know, as we had in, you know, Isaiah 60, verse 3. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And in verse 6, All from Sheba will come bearing gold and incense. In Psalm 72, we read the prophetic attributes of Jesus, and that kings from afar will bring gifts, tributes, and bow down to him. We also have in Numbers 24, verse 17, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not now. A star will arise out of Jacob. A scepter will arise out of Israel. Now, Matthew is the only gospel that actually mentions the kings, or the magi. But it does not say how many there are, or their names. Now, tradition has limited them to three, and I suspect that's probably because there's only three gifts mentioned in the Psalms. We also have their names by tradition now as being Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. And for a bit of trivia information for you, the earliest written record of these names is in a 6th century mosaic in Ravenna in Italy. A bit of trivia for your pub quiz sometime. These magi, who were they? Where do they come from? Well, it's believed they came from what's now Iran, basically. They were astrologers. They studied the stars. They interpreted dreams. They were learners. But they also knew all the Jewish traditions as well, and the prophecies. I think it was last year I saw a bit in the paper, or a year before, about a fresh speculation as to what the star of Bethlehem was, and what the astronomical activity had taken place. And there are various theories, which include planets like Saturn, which often represents Israel, and Jupiter, king, merging together. And it happened on three separate occasions in 7 BC. There's also speculation about a comet. And in Chinese records, there's a record of a new star being formed, a supernova, which would have been very bright and pulsating around. But we don't really know. But what the Magi are seen as, they're seen as representing the Gentiles, people from other nations, other than the Jews. And they're special, because they're the first people recorded as coming explicitly to worship Jesus. And that story has several lessons for us. They made an effort. They were a long way away. They could have just sat on their backsides and had plenty of other things to do. But they got up and they made the effort. And they would have travelled a long time through dangerous lands. But, you know, at times I wonder how good we are at always getting to church, to home groups, prayer meetings, prayer walks, or even church cleaning. But isn't it rather sad that the church elders in Jerusalem, even after the Magi had told them what had happened, what they'd seen, failed to move 6 miles to go and worship Jesus? You just think about it. They've been told something, and they don't move 6 miles. 2 hours walk, they would have been there. They couldn't be bothered. Now, the Magi came prepared. They came with gifts. We don't know if they fully understood their significance, but they were easy to carry. You know, gold is linked with kingship. Frankincense, a fragrant resin, is linked with divinity and holiness and used in prayer. Myrrh, used for embalming, and also someone who will die. You know, perhaps we need to be more prepared when we come to worship, what we bring to God, how we are coming forward. And they were full of joy, weren't they? They were excited, full of expectation, anticipation. You know, our worship should radiate joy to any visitors coming in here. And they saw the child. Now, they could have left the presence at the door. There you are. But they came in. True worship is us encountering God and meeting Jesus. They bowed down and worshipped. You know, he's not matey God. Do you remember a few years ago there was an Australian Prime Minister who got into real trouble because he put his arm around the Queen's shoulders? Do you remember that? Real trouble. Well, God is God. You know, we said at the beginning about every knee shall bow. And if you read Revelations, you have the elders and John flat on their faces before God. Also, when the majors came, they opened their treasures. We don't have boxes of gold. Well, I don't think you do anyway. Myrrh and frankincense. But we do have our treasures. And what are they? Time. Our energy. Our money. Our gifts and our talents. Our skills. And we need to offer them unreservedly. You know, we can't just hold it back. We've got to give it all. And if we give it all, we're offering our heart. Because our heart is where our treasure is. Now, a new year, any year, it's like a journey. And I suspect there are some several nice things you're looking forward to this year. You know, it may be the Diamond Jubilee celebrations. Maybe you've got some tickets for the Olympics or watching the Paralympics, I don't know. Maybe going off to Spring Harvest or New Wine. You know, a special holiday or a wedding, or perhaps somebody in the family is having a child. And there'll be some great things to look forward to. But unfortunately, our journey through life has some rocky bits as well. We've heard two or three bits here this morning, already in 2012, which are quite hard and quite difficult. And they're difficult times to follow. And we all have them as well. Because things just come up and hit us unexpectedly, don't they? You know, it might be bereavement, grief, difficulties at work, our own health issues, or somebody else close to us. You know, maybe other relationship problems. You know, being a Christian doesn't exempt us from trouble, I'm afraid. I've heard that said, oh, it's like a cheap insurance policy, that's why you've become a Christian. No, it doesn't. But what we do have is the accesses to resources to help. And I think further aspects of the Magi's story help to illustrate this. Now, the Magi would not have started the journey without years of study. Now, we have our guidebook, don't we? Don't neglect it. Read it. There's full of comfort in there. And I'll just quote you a few bits from one of the Psalms. Psalm 141, but my eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord, in thee is my trust. Psalm 23, he leads me beside quiet waters, he restores my soul, he guides me in paths of righteousness. Psalm 16, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And there are so many more verses. Now the Magi knew which star to follow. There were loads of stars in the sky, weren't there? I mean, you look out there, it's millions of stars. You know, which star to follow. But also they trusted in it. They had trust. They had trust that journey was about following that star. You know, we have Jesus. He's the light of the world. And our only way and path is to follow him. You know, it's reckoned that they spent 2 months to travel to Bethlehem. 2 months is a long time in that sort of part of the world. You've got bandits, you've got weather, it could be storms, you name it. And obviously spent a longer time also going home again because they tried to avoid Herod. Now, I bet they wouldn't have made it on their own, would they? Not one of them on their own on a camel in that desert would not have made it. I bet there were times when they needed the rest of them to help them. To get them out of trouble, to keep them going. You know, we need our church family around us. Don't neglect it. It's always there, always willing, and it can be your source and your strength when times are difficult and you don't know which way you're going. Don't turn your back on your church family. The journey of the Magi was not about them, was it? It's about them going to worship Jesus. Whatever we do, it's not about us, but rather allowing the Holy Spirit in us to lead us to serve and help others. Now, there's a person here I won't embarrass by name. But she had a difficult time last year. And she's been such an amazing Good Samaritan since. You're just an inspiration. We have two extra things. Firstly, prayer. You know, we can share our fears, our concerns, and we have a loving Father who hears and speaks back to us to help give us that direction. We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit who can and does provide supernatural peace and strength in the most unnatural situations. You don't expect to have it. And it will help you get through those trials when you really need it. But if you really do find yourself in a dark hole, you know, I think the thing to remember is that our difficulty is only temporary. And our hope is eternal. Our hope is in getting to our final journey's end, winning that crown of life which Paul refers to, and being with Jesus. So as we look at it, at 2012, I really trust that we are going to follow the guiding light of Jesus as a church, draw closer to God in worship, and don't hold back on our treasure. Let's say a short prayer. Lord, we thank you for the example of the Magi. Help us, dear Lord, to spare no effort in meeting you in our study, our prayers, and in our worship. And may all our treasures be offered to you. Amen.